Have you ever felt a twinge of worry about AI taking over your job or diluting your creativity? Well, what if you could turn that fear into creative fuel? We've just published an amazing new ebook called The 4 Keys to Success in an AI World, and this is more than just a guide. It's a deep exploration into the human skills that AI can't touch, the skills that are essential for standing out and thriving no matter how much technology evolves. We're talking about real differentiators here like creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and much more. Inside, you'll find actionable insights and strategies to develop these skills, whether you're a creative person, a business person, or just simply someone who loves personal development. This isn't a story about tech taking over. It's a story of human creativity thriving alongside AI. Picture this: AI as your creative co-pilot, not just as a tool, but a collaborator that enhances your unique human skills. The 4 Keys ebook will show you exactly how to do that and view AI in a new way that empowers you instead of overshadows you. Transform your creative potential today. Head over to unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. Use the number 4, K-E-Y-S. That's unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. And download your free copy.
That's where we're like, okay, let's try out this crazy idea of paying all of our employees the exact same rate, including ourselves once it came to paying ourselves. And then it kind of went from there of like, okay, well, we have equity in the company. So what would make it fair is to give our employees equity based on like how long they've been with us and whatnot. So we're implementing that as well. And we just kind of went down the list and looked at pricing and it's like, okay, well, typically companies price at a certain price to, make a certain percentage with wholesale and then leave a little bit to where they can offer discounts so the product moves faster. And whatnot. And we're like, okay, well, we don't like making those decisions because essentially it's telling the customer what they're paying rather than letting them choose. So we implemented a sliding scale on our website for essentially like within reason of kind of covering our costs, customers choose what price they want to pay for our products. And all of this thought process went into what became the Mad Optimist. And we worked with a design agency who kind of joined the team and basically we were able to, what really helped us with that is we were able to clearly lay out to them all of these feelings we had and kind of all of these values that we hold as a company, and that allowed everything to be distilled down. And when it came down to it, the words the Mad Optimist really just fit very well.
I'm Srini Rao, and this is the Unmistakable Creative Podcast, where you get a window into the stories and insights of the most innovative and creative minds who've started movements, built thriving businesses, written best-selling books, and created insanely interesting art. For more, check out our 500-episode archive at unmistakablecreative.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
As creators, we're always on the move. Whether it's a live podcast event, a pop-up shop, or a workshop, we're constantly interacting with community, and that's where Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe comes in. Imagine this. You're at a live event, a listener loves your merch, or a participant wants to sign up for your course on the spot. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, you can accept their payments right there and then, right from your iPhone, so there's no extra hardware or no delays. Total game changer. It's not just for creators. Any business owner can do this. It's about making transactions smoother and much more personal, growing your business in your way. We've been using Stripe for our products and courses for a long time, and now, with Tap to Pay on iPhone, you can take your business to the next level too. So visit stripe.com/tapiphone to learn more. Remember, folks, with Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, your business is always at your fingertips.
Anthony, welcome to the Unmistakable Creative. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, thanks for so much for having me on.
Yeah, it is my pleasure to have you here. So I actually came across your story because I wrote into you guys, or somebody on my team did, about having you guys potentially advertise on the podcast, and was pleasantly surprised to learn that you guys, of all things, are building a soap company, which is so different from anything anybody does in the modern world, where everybody is building apps and, you know, services and that kind of stuff. But before we get into how in the world you started building a soap company, I want to start by asking you, what did your parents do for a living, and what impact did that end up having on the choices that you've made with your life and your career?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a pretty deep question. So my mom has always, I'm from Southern Indiana myself. So a small town. My mom has always worked in factories as a line worker. So you could say working class family. My dad left, my mom and dad split up when I was young, and I lived with my mom. And then she remarried, and my stepdad, for many years, he was my stepdad anyway. He was a road construction. So very solidly working class family. And how it's affected me, I mean, I know some people with working class families see it as like they were missing out on something. I always kind of thought of myself more as a middle class, and I always wanted to go beyond. I know just seeing my mom in particular work so hard on giving me and my sisters a good childhood. I knew I wanted to do something with that. From a young age, I was always adamant that I would be the first one to go to college. And my mom, of course, wanted that, but she also wanted to instill, reasonable expectations. She's like, well, that costs a lot of money. You might want to think of this. And I was always like, no, I'm going to go to college and make it happen. And I think that kind of propelled me forward, starting with just the hard work they did and making something of that in the future. And I did end up going to college, and thankfully, I was able to get a full ride scholarship, and I went to Indiana University, and the story kept going from there.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder about two things. Your mother passes on this message about having reasonable expectations, and yet you still had the audacity to dream. And I wonder, what was it that allowed for that?
I think that's just my tendency to just kind of look at the world around me and envision what I want it to be. I knew that at the time I was actually pretty pretty down on the idea of like working in a factory. I was like, oh, I'm never going to work in a factory. And it was partially a reaction against that. I've kind of evolved since then. I see kind of value in whatever anyone's doing. I do want to clarify though. She wasn't necessarily wanting me not to have a vision. I think she thought that's what I needed. If maybe I needed to be pushed later, for example, I think she's encouraging my sisters to go to college. I think she was just kind of responding to, okay, you're very adamant, but just realize that this is what needs to be done. And you know, sometimes the world doesn't work in your favor. My reaction against that was just me very much so being like, okay, I see what you're saying, but many things are possible. I read a lot. I was like avid fantasy sci-fi novel reader, but also read like just tons of stuff about science and many subjects. I tend to get myself interested in things, and just being exposed to all of that information, all of those worldviews, just outside of your typical like television consumption, just made me kind of gave me fuel for making what I wanted to happen.
Mm-hmm. That ability to look at the world and believe that you could shape it to your own liking, is that something that you think was just deeply embedded in you at an early age? And has it changed with time? Has it evolved? And how do other people develop that if they don't believe they have it?
Sure. I could say it's been kind of an on again, off again thing. So it's always kind of in my core. But how well it comes out at any moment, it's kind of dependent on the situation. I guess it's the same with anyone. It was embedded at an early age. And honestly, this is the first time I'm talking about this like this. So please bear with me. But no, it's a great concept. And actually, something that I've been struggling with lately is kind of bringing that back to the fore and letting that, you know, enhance how I'm approaching the business even more so. So it's great that this is coming up again. In my younger age, what helped was, like I said, kind of exposing myself to different worldviews, ideas. So I read a lot. I didn't just stick with your typical kind of views of reality. I mean, I strayed into some really odd subjects just because they interested me. And so that was a good base, but I don't know if that's sustainable, but that's a good place to start. Just kind of be like, okay, this is what you currently see the world as, but what are some other options? What are some other worldviews? And don't limit yourself. We're always all learning, so you might as well take an active approach in that. And that, like I said, that helped me and continues to help me. Lately, what I've noticed is you have to be able to apply that to other people. So not just like learning from like research and reading and consuming, but learning from like listening to other people as if they were essentially a self-help book. We're all kind of in this together. And if you take that approach of, okay, everyone essentially knows more than you, not to like ding yourself, but to just like constantly learn from other people. That's something that I'm kind of internalizing right now of, it's easy to get stuck in your like, okay, this is what I know. I've learned this or I've experienced this. And, if what you say doesn't match how I've seen things in the past, then, I'm going to ignore you. I like to say that that's not my typical mindset, but I have noticed myself kind of get into that a little bit. So, just taking a step back and be like, okay, I can learn from anyone. And just be very genuine with that, I would say. So don't just take it of like, oh, okay, what you're saying is wrong, but I'll take something out of it. Just truly like absorb whatever someone else has to offer you. And I think you'd be truly like really surprised in what you learn. It can be maybe difficult, and more difficult than just like isolating yourself and, kind of creating viewpoints from what you consume or thinking internally, but I think it can bring you far.
What did you learn about work ethic from somebody like your mom who worked in a factory, and what misperception do you think people have about blue collar workers, particularly those who didn't grow up in that kind of an environment?
Okay. So let's see. Misperceptions on work ethic of blue collar workers. Just kind of thinking about this a little bit. So I think a lot of people might have, so now that we're in the age of Trump, there might be a lot of negativity towards blue collar workers in association with like voting patterns. But even before that, I think there's this idea of they just don't like think enough beyond their means, or they've allowed themselves to get stuck. And really it's just a matter of, you know, having the drive to go beyond that. And I think there might be some of that. Definitely that's not the case with my mom. My mom, sometimes it's just like a situation. So my mom had kids and needed to be raised, and she wanted to do like a great job with that, such that we didn't even think of ourselves as a working class family. Like literally in high school, I was like, oh no, we're middle class. But like, obviously that's not the case. And my mom worked very hard to make that illusion. So it's a matter of, I think it's different people do want different things out of life. And so her main thing was having a good life for her kids. Now, if she had pursued like different types of career and education, could she have done that? Sure. Although she was starting from maybe a disadvantaged place. So I could easily see that. Personally, I think that she did the best job she could given what she had. And it is great to absolutely have like the mindset of anything is possible. But you also have to kind of look at, okay, this is the this is how the world is at the moment, and kind of take a look at what the limits are. So you know, like, where you most need to apply pressure, or, you know, apply imagination, I guess, to make something different happen. And for her, that main thing was providing for her kids, and she did that like in flying colors. And I think if you took a closer look at a lot of working like blue collar families, you'd probably see that pattern again. Like maybe someone in the family, like the parents or whatnot, don't necessarily want to become famous or like publish books. Like maybe that's not their interest. But if you take a close look at maybe like the more successful examples of those families, that those people are pursuing their dreams, and many are succeeding. They're just different dreams, if that makes any sense.
So walk me through how in the world you get from college to starting a soap company of all things.
So it's a kind of a simple story, I guess. So went to college, needed a place to stay. So I rented a room with someone, Muhammad M. Mahdi, and just became roommates and stuck around. And so stuck around even after graduating. I got a job with the same university that I went to. But soon after getting that job, of course, we had to become friends by that time. Got a roommate, became friends with the roommate. And then the roommate's brother moved in as well. His name's also Muhammad A. Basically, we just like trying things out. So it's kind of that exploration mindset. We always kind of think of like, okay, how does the world work? How is this thing done? How exactly do sewage systems work? I mean, it's a little odd and nerdy, but that's kind of like really fun for us, is figuring out how things work, trying things out. And so one day it's just kind of like we needed soap. So we just sat on the couch, pulled up the computer, and like, okay, well, how is soap made? And then we're like, okay, well, we can do this. We went around town, got some ingredients and tested it out. And then we really just got into this intense phase of like testing and experimentation, making tons and tons of soap. And again, maybe that's just like the combined results of our personalities of we like to like really explore something, get it right. And then we had what looked like to be about 200 years worth of soap between us. And we're like, well, let's try selling it. And really, that was very quick. This was all within a month. So we moved quickly. So we're like, okay, well, let's figure out how a business is started and started selling at farmers markets and then selling to local stores and just kind of growing and growing. And a few months later, we rented a production location, and it's just been kind of a gradual progression since then.
That curiosity and that innate sort of capacity to explore, like most people who are out of soap wouldn't think, you know, let's look at online and look at how to make soap and start making it. Why do you think you guys have that in particular? What has enabled you to maintain it throughout your life? And what would you tell people who feel that they don't have that anymore?
I would say, I mean, it's one of those difficult things. It's kind of like always instill a sense of questioning. Sometimes questioning can be hard, but it always opens things up. So like, it's really easy to get stuck in like this day to day. You go about your schedule, you work or whatnot, and you come home and rest and rinse and repeat. And then it's weekend and you like relax. There is something really beneficial into like to always being able to question, like instill like a curiosity in things. So most people might not be curious as to how soap is made, for example. But if you just like let yourself just like question things for a minute, it can open things up. So it's almost like childlike. Like a child might look up at a power line and be like, okay, well, where do these power lines come from? What are they made of? Like, how does this all interconnect? Like, where does the electricity come from? If you can like instill that, I mean, it's easy to say like, oh, childlike wonder, but if you can like exercise that and allow yourself to experience moments like that, like it can open things up. For us, it opened up a business that we're currently operating. It opens up other things as well. I mean, within the business, we do that sort of questioning, and it allows us to kind of create things, implement things that we wouldn't otherwise think of. So I would say just however you can, like allow yourself to question everything, not as a result of maybe skepticism, but as a result of like just bringing a little bit of wonder back into your life. And just doing that as often as you can think of it.
So of all the things you could have started a business in, this is like as out there as it gets, right? You know, people are building apps, people are building social networks, and you guys decide to tackle something that's 100, you know, hundreds of years old. And, you know, the people who you're up against are basically the sort of behemoths of the industry. What made you think that, hey, you know what, we can go make something of this? Like, that's audacity.
Right. So, I mean, at first it wasn't even, we didn't even address those things. Like at the very first, we were just making some soap, and then, you know, we were just seeing how the soap sold. We allowed it to be, I mean, maybe it wasn't the best business plan looking back, but we allowed it to be what we wanted it to be. So, we were just exploring, learning. We weren't being like, okay, what is this amazing business that we can start right now and sell it in a few years and make millions of dollars? It was more so allowing ourselves to try something out and then allowing ourselves to, turn that into a business. A lot of people don't make that step. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be an app, but definitely in this world, like side streams of income are very helpful. So, we allowed ourselves to take the step, and then kind of went from there. I mean, we didn't have experience in chemistry. We didn't have business backgrounds. We all were liberal arts majors. Like I majored in linguistics. The other two guys, were psychology and political science. We kind of knew that we didn't know what we were doing essentially, and went with that because essentially no one ever really knows what they're doing. Just some people convince themselves that they do. So we allowed it to evolve and be what it was. Now, like over the years, we've kind of changed and we have started tackling these concepts of, oh, we're going up against some really big guys. It's not your typical tech startup. Initially, it wasn't even a tech startup, but we've kind of turned it into that more recently. So we just went with a genuine organic idea, flowed with it, and allowed the changes as they came, and are still currently just doing our best to make the best of all the changes and expand our vision along the way, and not get stuck into any one idea of who we are or who we could be.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah. Tell me about the first time you guys made soap.
Well, it was in the kitchen. we just made 1 pound of soap. Comes out to about 8 or 10 bars. Pretty small bars, and we were just trying out some instructions online, but we can't let that be. We changed a lot of things. We came up with our own formula for just the first recipe. We didn't want to use anyone else's formula. So just testing things out right away. I think if I remember correctly, we thought we messed it up. It seemed like the soap wasn't acting like how other people were saying it should. And we were worried because if you don't make soap properly, like there will be lye left over, which can burn the skin. So we were nervous. We thought we messed it up, but we put it in a mold, put it away, and then came back to it and then tested it to make sure that the soap was finished and safe. And it was. We tested it out. And at first we were a little like cautious as like, oh, we're not sure about this natural soap. Like, does it really clean or, you know, and or whatnot, but we tested it and it was amazing. Like we were like, wow, how could we have ever like used any soap but the soap? How do people use like these big bulk, very cheap soaps when, like it's something very like integral to you, like you're washing your skin and like you have to live with the choices. And like I realized that every day, like for like most of my adult life, I would feel slightly itchy after taking a shower, and I thought that was the hot water or just, you know, something that happened, but no, it was the soap I was using. The soap like made it so I wasn't itchy at all. So discovered that. It was only a little later that we realized that the way that we had made that soap and thereafter continued making soap, we had actually invented our own method of making soap to where the soap is safe and ready to use the same day. We later realized that most soap takes about 4 to 6 weeks to be safe and ready to use. And so that was a big realization for us, kind of stumbled upon that. And since then we've, begun utilizing and like, making that beneficial for the business. But, yeah, that was a really interesting experience.
No, I mean, you guys then suddenly decided to start selling. You said you went to farmers markets. I mean, how did you guys start selling it, and, where in the world did you guys come up with the name of the Mad Optimist?
That was a bit of a journey. We didn't start with the Mad Optimist. We actually went through a few different, names, along the way, we realized that we're not the best branders and ourselves and designers. But yeah, we just we came up with some packaging, brought it to like came up with a really nice like booth design. Like we were very meticulous. Like at the time, the branding was kind of all about all natural, which later we realized that that's just kind of that's a given in our market of all natural body care. But we went with it. We had the burlap and the greens and the earth tones, did a really intricate like wooden displays and brought them to these farmers markets. And the other farmers market people would be like, what's going on with you guys? Why does it take you an hour and a half to set up your booth? And that was just kind of our mindset. If we're going to do it, let's do it the best we can and, you know, present something really great to the attendees and the customers. And it just went from there. I mean, we started doing markets weekly in the area. And soon after, we reached out to some stores, like local stores, like co-ops and whatnot, who sell local products, and got our products into those stores. Along the way, there was a lot of work involved, label design. We realized that to be in stores, we needed barcodes, which at the time was a bit more difficult to get than it is now. But we made it happen. We made a website more as a placeholder. We figured we could tell people where to find our products and sell it as like a side thing. And that went on for a few years. We expanded pretty, you could say pretty rapidly, although like for us, it didn't feel like it at the time. It wasn't enough. We sold throughout Indiana, did a lot of markets, got into like some local chains. So we're in well over 50, 60 stores. But we're finding that we invested a lot into the back end, the production. We could make thousands of bars at a time and whatnot, but the sales just weren't there. Now, we weren't great at like the branding and design side, like I mentioned, although we did make a big point of making our products really high quality. We used only like all natural ingredients. We made our products vegan, halal, because that's essentially like the Muslim version of kosher, because all three of us are Muslims. gluten-free, because we had customers saying that their skin was sensitive, and we just quickly switched over our ingredients, contacted our suppliers, made it gluten-free, non-GMO. So we were sticking to some really strict quality standards. Like we use hair nets when producing our stuff, just because we kind of think about, well, we treat it like food. Like if we were having a bar of soap in our hands, how would we want it to be made? And that's how we made it. So we're kind of coming up against, like, we were getting into these local stores and the quality was amazing, but we were getting into the stores because we were local, and that was great, but it wasn't enough to really sustain us. Like, we weren't paying ourselves, and we needed to look further. So we kind of stepped back took a look at what we did differently and how we could do something differently for the market. Because at this point, we're starting to look at, like how you mentioned, like, there are these big players. There's not only like the big, huge, like Dial, Dove and whatnot. There's like people in the middle level. There's other all natural, like bar soaps and body care companies. So what are we doing that's different? I mean, we know internally from what we're able to tell, our products are the best, but that's one thing. It's getting it to the customers. So we realized that with our way of making soap, we have this ability that no one else is doing of making soap, allowing you to design a soap that you want, and us being able to make as few as one bar and ship it out within just a few days. And that was kind of a game changer, us kind of coming to that realization. The cost, like the labor and whatnot per bar, is higher. But we have the capability of providing that and still making a profit. So we essentially tested that out for a little over a year. We launched like a 1.0 of the, like, the personalized bar soap concept, got a little bit of traction. We got mentioned in a few national publications, but the growth was still kind of slow, and we realized that to really get this concept out there, we need to communicate who we are as a company. And I never really got to that aspect, at our core, we, and me and the other two co-founders, we don't really like the way that business is typically done. We don't like manipulating customers. We don't like presenting something different than it is. We want to be a benefit to our customers and to the world, And so we were kind of running up against, like, oh, well, for the longest time, we didn't email our customers because we didn't want to bother them. And it's kind of, I laugh at it now because it's kind of naive. I mean, but that's kind of our thought process. And so we really needed to think of a way of presenting all of this. So I'll put that on the shelf for a second. Along the way, we did it. We attended a startup accelerator as a result of launching this personalized bar soap concept in Cincinnati called The Brandery. It was kind of through that experience of being in that accelerator, we realized that what we were doing was we were going from being a local soap company into essentially what we call a tech-enabled startup. We're building this platform online where people can build a product, which we then make for them. But essentially, it boils down to the tech side of it. And so that we were kind of changing our mindset and kind of seeing how investment is done, changing the company to make it, where we can get investment. And we realized we needed to also learn that a lot about our customers. We needed to see, like, who is our customer? Why do they like us? And go from there. And so we did some surveys. And what we found was our customers liked who we are and why we were doing what we were doing. Many of them had never even tried all natural bar soap before. But they tried ours, they loved it, and they stuck with us. But they tried ours because they liked our story. They like us, you know, we're three Muslims, we're, trying to make the world a better place through our company. we didn't start a nonprofit. We want to provide like a product that is of value and good quality, improves people's lives, such that like some people who haven't been able to use like soap for 20 years were able to use our soap and their skin is all the better for it. For example, or providing soap to people who have gluten sensitivities and can't use regular soaps. And so all of that fueled us. And so when we saw that that's really what our customers connected with, that's when we sat down and kind of made a manifesto, essentially, like, okay, this is what we don't like about business, and marketing and whatnot. And here's what we do differently. So we have been struggling with the concept, for example, of, what do we pay our employees? We were still not paying ourselves, but we needed to have some sort of like justification for employees. And then in projections for like the future, like what are we like, what would we pay this employee versus this employee to get investment? And that was one thing where we were like, well, that doesn't make sense. So if everyone in the business is invested in the business, why wouldn't everyone just be paid equally? Granted, that means that each person needs to kind of take ownership and control of their area and have a say in the business. But that's where we're like, okay, let's try out this crazy idea of paying all of our employees the exact same rate, including ourselves once it came to paying ourselves. And then it kind of went from there of like, okay, well, we have equity in the company. So what would make it fair is to give our employees equity. Based on like how long they've been with us and whatnot. So we're implementing that as well. And we just kind of went down the list and looked at pricing and it's like, okay, well, typically companies price at a certain price to make a certain percentage with wholesale and then leave a little bit to where they can offer discounts so the product moves faster and whatnot. And we're like, okay, well, we don't like making those decisions because essentially it's telling the customer what they're paying rather than letting them choose. So we implemented a sliding scale on our website for essentially like within reason of kind of covering our costs, customers choose what price they want to pay for our products. And all of this thought process went into what became the Mad Optimist. And we worked with a design agency who kind of joined the team basically, we were able to, what really helped us with that is we were able to clearly lay out to them all of these feelings we had and kind of all of these values that we hold as a company. And that allowed everything to be distilled down. And when it came down to it, the words, the Mad Optimist, really just fit very well.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that I appreciate about this is that, you guys have placed your values front and center above everything else, like before profit, before finances. Not that those things don't matter, but you're making largely values driven decisions. And, even in the face of having gone through an incubator where you haven't, I don't know if you've taken an investment or not, but why do you think that's not more common? Like, why are those not put front and center? And why are the metrics often prioritized over the values in so many cases?
Well, I mean, just from my point of view, I think it can be harder to go with just values, especially because that's how everything is structured at the moment, or at least a lot of things seem to be structured in such a way to value metrics more so. And I can see that. I mean, you still need to have a team that can execute and an idea that, like at least functionally, that customers want and will pay for on that level. But it is harder and less obvious. So like if you need investment, and to this point we have not taken other than the accelerators investment amount, we have not taken investment, although we're looking at that at the moment. I would say it's easier to get investment essentially if you can prove that the investor is going to make money, and that's just kind of how it works. An investor invests rather than investing in stocks or CDs or what have you. They're investing in a startup to ultimately make money. Now, there are like other people angels and whatnot who might invest more on a values driven concept. And those people are out there. It's just a matter of like finding them and maybe a point of that community can be developed even more so. If you're just looking at like return on investment, I can see how that would be more of a goal. The gamble for the Mad Optimist, I guess, is to show that going values first will succeed. And so that's what kind of we're trying to prove, is that going values first and trying things out the way that you think they should be done, that can succeed. And if we can prove that, then I would hope that that could open things up for other people to try something similar. And then also we can use our experience to help, we can make the mistakes first and let other people benefit from that. We're happy to do that. Yeah.
So there's one other part of this that I think is very related to values, and something you've referenced a couple of times throughout the conversation is the fact that you guys are all Muslim, and you mentioned the kosher part of it. What other aspects of faith have shaped the way that you've run your business?
You could say that it's all aspects, really. Not necessarily from the point of view of like, okay, let's make a Muslim branded business. Mm-hmm. I think there's a place for that. We all know that like our community, our customer base, doesn't necessarily just have to be Muslims. Our customers appreciate the fact that we're open about our faith. Like we talk about it occasionally on social media, but we do use it more so of inserting our values into the way we do our business. The values, you could say, didn't come from nowhere. Our faith kind of tells us to like think about what we're doing and why, and always strive to do better. We've kind of infused that into everything, not allow us to convince ourselves that something that we're doing is fine, even if it's not. We have to identify this thing that we're thinking of doing isn't fine. Yes, it could get us money, but let's do something better. And so always kind of just infusing that into everything that we do, I think it just makes for a better company. And so whatever your faith is, whoever you, the listener or whatnot, I would say that would be a good way to kind of look at business or decisions is we could say the clothing of the faith might be different, but what is the core of it, and apply that core to everything that you do. And it takes a little searching and thinking about what that might mean in any context, but I think it allows us to grow a lot more internally and as a company.
Amazing. This has been really, really interesting. I can confidently say you're the first person who's ever founded a soap company that we've had as a guest on the Unmistakable Creative. So I have one final question for you, which is how we finish all of our interviews. What do you think it is that makes somebody or something unmistakable?
Which aspect of it? Sorry.
I mean, it's really however you want to answer the question.
Well, I would say that whatever you do with such intensity and belief that sets you apart, that makes you unmistakable. It doesn't necessarily have to be something maybe truly unique, but whatever you do with passion and intensity that you really believe in, I would say that's what makes you unmistakable. That's what makes us and hopefully us and me unmistakable is that our passion comes through, and whether or not we succeed, while I hope that we do, at least we did it with passion, and that's what we gave it a good shot. And I think that's true of any kind of goal or any project is put everything you have into it and do it with passion. And if you can't do that, I would say move on and find something that you can do unmistakably.
Awesome. Well, where can people find out more about you, your work, and everything that you guys are up to?
Sure. I'm all tied into the Mad Optimist. That's the, where I am, me. So, themadoptimist.com, is where you can find all about us. And, we're also active on Facebook and Instagram, at the Mad Optimist. We share a lot of our, who we are and what we do on all those platforms.
Awesome. And for everybody listening, we will wrap the show with that.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Unmistakable Creative Podcast. While you were listening, were there any moments you found fascinating, inspiring, instructive, maybe even heartwarming? Can you think of anyone, a friend or a family member who would appreciate this moment? If so, take a second and share today's episode with that one person, because good ideas and messages are meant to be shared.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever felt a twinge of worry about AI taking over your job or diluting your creativity? Well, what if you could turn that fear into creative fuel? We've just published an amazing new ebook called The 4 Keys to Success in an AI World, and this is more than just a guide. It's a deep exploration into the human skills that AI can't touch, the skills that are essential for standing out and thriving no matter how much technology evolves. We're talking about real differentiators here like creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and much more. Inside, you'll find actionable insights and strategies to develop these skills, whether you're a creative person, a business person, or just simply someone who loves personal development. This isn't a story about tech taking over. It's a story of human creativity thriving alongside AI. Picture this: AI as your creative co-pilot, not just as a tool, but a collaborator that enhances your unique human skills. The 4 Keys ebook will show you exactly how to do that and view AI in a new way that empowers you instead of overshadows you. Transform your creative potential today. Head over to unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. Use the number 4, K-E-Y-S. That's unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. And download your free copy.